huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means shaking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up and awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive but also profitable.
When you use your own reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hey, it's Rob Moore here, and I'm going to share with you 9 disruptive predictions for 2021, mostly for entrepreneurs, seeing as it's mostly entrepreneurs who follow me, though there may be some lifestyle ones in here too. So prediction number 1 is we're going to soon move into tier 77 and lockdown 7.0. No, there is going to be no talk about lockdowns and tiers and COVID, etc., unless it serves your business. That being said, I am very soon doing a live stream and a joint podcast with Dan Gregory, who's gone viral in this lockdown because he's got very strong views on COVID, lockdowns, quarantines, et cetera, vaccines. And we're going to focus much on business related to the lockdown. And he's a big research guy. So that'll be a bit interesting. A lot of people have actually been asking me, Rob, what is your real view on this lockdown, on how the government are handling it, on the vaccine, on Bill Gates, and you know all this. And I'm 99% of the time keep my gob shut on that kind of stuff. Because I never wanted to be a guy that just leveraged the COVID lockdown, etc., you know, to gain a load of followers. I just tried to stick to what I do. So lots of people have been asking me for my business predictions for 2021 and where's the events business going to go and what is the future of entrepreneurship? Well, I like to take it at a higher level of abstraction and go a little bit deeper. And that is that whatever human beings need, there will be a business model around it. So, you know, humanity's greatest problems, the world's greatest problem, are entrepreneurs' biggest opportunities. And of course, things in ecology and green business models and things that will help, the longevity and lifespan of humanity and the planet, those are great business model opportunities where you could create a fair exchange environment where you could balance really elegantly helping humanity and the planet and the world with a nice, tidy profit margin. And that really is entrepreneurship in its purest form. So whilst it's not one of my 9 predictions, it's definitely a 9.5. But back to what do human beings need right now? Why don't you put it in the comments and let me know what you think human beings need right now? But I'm going to chuck some things out there that you might agree with. I think we need connection. I think we need leadership. I think we need hope, certainty. I think we need guidance. I think we need truth. I think we need trust again, because I think a lot of these have been disrupted. I can't say that they've gone because, we're only not even a year in, but I think that they've been eroded. Now, if you can use the creation of connection, which I think leads to hope and leadership and some of the other solutions of truth and meaning and certainty, I think you've got a great business. Why did Zoom do so well? Not just because of the convenience element, but because humans could connect when, in real terms, we couldn't connect. So for the last 3 days, I have been on for at least 6 hours a day, this new app called Clubhouse. I was actually moderating in some rooms just now. Why does Clubhouse? Let me know in the comments if you're in Clubhouse, by the way. Put your username, because I'm actually doing a Clubhouse room tomorrow I'm extending these business predictions. Put your username in there. Mine's @RobMoore. But Clubhouse, I think, it is really working right now because it enables us to connect. And Clubhouse can enable you to connect very closely with, you know, big influencers and people who are very successful in their fields. So, you know, what we've lost in this lockdown is tactile connection with human beings and looking in the real whites of the eyes and, the physical element. So any business that creates connection, this is why our online events have done so well, because it's the next best thing to live events. So you create connection, you focus on community. I think that's a prediction of mine for 2021, is that if you focus on that, you will probably do well. Jackie has said it's stop censorship. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of that on the social media channels. But again, don't get me ranting. Just please don't. I'm easy to just chuck a hook at. Oh, get Rob on this one. Off he goes. But I agree to a certain point. Okay. Now, you could also use the media that create connection to your advantage. So you might not be able to start Zoom or Clubhouse. You know, you may not have the infrastructure or the experience, but using Zoom and Clubhouse and other online media to create connection between you and your clients, giving them more touch points with you, that could be big for you. Okay, so two is actually about Clubhouse. So Clubhouse kind of kicked off in a big way this December, December 2020, and it's kind of gone viral. And the marketing campaign's absolutely fantastic. I don't know if you've seen the Fyre documentary. Let me know in the comments. Give me a thumbs up if you've seen Fyre, F-Y-R-E. But whilst the product was bad, or the idea was good, but the execution was bad, and that actually turned out into some illegal activity, the viral marketing campaign was brilliant. And they used a concept I know of as anticipation marketing, which is marketing something in anticipation of, but you don't know what it is. And this the person who created this, the Fyre event, they got all these massive influencers to just put an orange square on their social media. It was, what's this orange square? Everyone's got an orange square. What's going on? And you started to see in December, there was these little beige squares. You have been accepted to Clubhouse. You are invited to Clubhouse. And everyone's like, what's Clubhouse? Oh, what's Clubhouse? Because, you know, not many people knew, but it was all there. Like, what's Clubhouse? Oh, what did it go? And people were going mad. I believe that Clubhouse is going to be a big social media channel this year. The viral nature of the marketing has got us all wanting to be in and obsessing over it, which is great. I think it will probably normalize some way towards the end of the year. What's great about Clubhouse is that you can listen in rooms and be a sort of a voyeur via audio while you're running, walking, doing whatever. I've been building Lego. I've bought a 4,000-piece Lamborghini Scion. Lego is my new addiction. Entrepreneurs are always addicted to something, and I'm an addictive personality. And this Christmas, so I started building Lego with the kids to connect with the kids, and then the kids fucked off and left me with the Lego. I'm like, what? And then I got addicted to Lego. So, yeah, for the last, 4 days? About 6 hours a day, I've been building my Lamborghini Scion, 4,000 pieces, while listening in and giving advice in rooms on Clubhouse. So you've got to get in on it, and you've got to try and get in there and figure it out and start your own rooms and build your own following. I've got pretty much 1,000 followers now in 3 days just from, sort of floating around and testing this out. I've done two of my own rooms. I've got one coming soon, which I'll tell you about in a moment. Will it fly and be the next big thing? I don't know, because its strength is you can listen voyeuristically while you're doing other things, but that could be its weakness as well. Because if you've got 1,000 people in a Clubhouse room, how many of them are actually engaged? Like, you're watching this, let's say you're watching this via Facebook Live, because I might put it on my podcast, A Disruptive Entrepreneur, as well. If you're watching it, then you have to be engaged, don't you? You can't do other things really while watching a video, especially if you're holding the device in your hand. You can more with the podcast, travel and things like that. But usually people are quite engaged when they listen to a podcast because it's one thing specific for them. Okay, anyway, point three, because I want to get through the nine and do it in about 30 minutes, something like that in total. So I believe that there is going to be a resurgence of events later in 2021. And a lot of people have been asking me, are events dead? Are they over? Well, is human connection dead? Is the desire for humans to get together, to network, to sort of feel the energy of humanity? I don't think that's dead. In fact, I think that once the doors open again, I think that everyone's just going to be having sex on the streets and in the pubs and the bars and in everywhere you go. And we're just going to want to touch each other. So I really do believe if you run events like we do, I think that you'll get a big upsurge in people coming to events, wanting to go to events. I'm not just talking about seminars. I'm talking about live gigs and experiences. It could be a sort of a mini staycation and vacation boom. I think, you know, I used to think sort of in lockdown 1.0, you know, when this is all open, everyone's going to go wild. But they didn't just sort of like, you know, yesterday it's closed, today all the floodgates are open. They sort of staged it and sort of ruined really our party, didn't they? But as they get more lockdowns, I think I can sense the anger, the frustration, the built up, you know, and loneliness and need for other things in life and to be able to do stuff. Barry has just said he got a Nissan GTR Lego model for Christmas. I had a 750 brake Nissan GTR a good few years ago, Barry. I sold it because I never drove it. I actually made about $7,000 on selling it, though. It cost me more than that to run. yeah, love it. All right, then. So I do think that live events aren't dead. I do think that they're going to be huge. And, you know, a bit like that, there's been a little mini boom in the property market. You know, I think there will be a mini boom in travel as long as the airlines and the holiday providers are still there. And I think there could be a mini boom in live events. Okay. I also think, as an add-on to point three, that there's going to be continued growth in online learning. So the great thing now is I think those of us that loved live events like me and had a live events company, we kind of got used to and stuck in our own rut and ways of running live events. And I never really wanted to run online events because it's the connection, the rapport, the energy, the going for dinner afterwards, the going around everyone at lunch and sitting down with them and having lunch with them, getting to know people on a one-to-one basis. You can't do this at online events. But of course, I had to set up online events if I wanted to keep progressive growing through the lockdown and, you know, not just sort of burning cash. And as it turns out, live events have been great. We've been able to reach people in you know, more than a dozen new countries. Will be able to scale more globally, more quickly. I'm sort of building my brand up in America now. So, of course, online learning has been normalized now, hasn't it? I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have done various things that they do now on Zoom, you know, Zoom quizzes and Zoom parties and things like that. So now, you know, at the end of 2021, we may have both of those options available. Okay, point four prediction. Disruptive predictions for 2021. I think there's going to be a property market correction and an economic correction. Don't ask me how much and don't ask me when, because I don't pretend to be an oracle. And anyone that said by how much and when, they're guessing. No one knows. But I think everyone knows at some point there's going to be a correction in certain markets, you know, the overall economy, you know, the boom of Bitcoin, the boom of watches, Patek Philippe's, et cetera, have gone wild. You know, and property has actually had a mini boom. Depends how you define boom, but, you know, mini price rise. Who'd have thought that? And, you know, I think once, you know, come January, I think that people are going to have to pay taxes that they were allowed to delay. When furlough ends in March, how many people will actually be full-time laid off? How much will unemployment go up by? This when the stamp duty exemption gets released or taken away, all of these extra things, you know, the loans that have to be paid back, I think that that could really clog up the economy and the property market. Now, there being a correction in the economy, you know, or negative growth or even recession, two quarters can, you know, one after the other of negative growth, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's often an opportunity to buy undervalued assets. And I have a Ferrari Testarossa. And that was 45 grand when I looked at them about eight, 9 years ago. But I thought it was back then I had a Ferrari 430 Spider and I thought it was too opulent to have two Ferraris. That Testarossa went up from 45 grand to 180 grand. And then I bought it for 105 and I believe they're a bit more now. So, you know, prices do fluctuate. I think there's corrections coming. You know, when was the last recession? 2008. We're moving into 2021. So we're 12, 13 years into this cycle. And usually that sort of means we're more moving towards a correction. I think it could come in 2021. It could take longer. Actually, often booms and busts, people predict them too early and they actually take a lot longer to play out. And of course, there's a million variables in the market, but I get asked a lot. So really, you can't predict when, you can predict what. Just be ready, basically. Be liquid to buy properties. Be ready to, you know, be active in the market once prices start to move or change. Or really, you should be actively viewing and getting properties in your pipeline now preserve your capital as much as you can, get good relationships built, and access to finance through, you know, private and professional lenders.
Hi, it's Rob here, interrupting you with something you may not know about me. I was one of the few people on the planet hand-selected by Facebook to pilot their new supporter program. It's a very small premium model where you can get exclusive content and advance notice or discount of new products and services. So this is what I've done for you. Not only can you get best discounts for any training that we might run, not only do you get notified first of any launches we do, we also do supporter meetups, supporter dinners, supporter WhatsApp groups where you have a deeper community. I do supporter only Ask Me Anythings. I do supporter only content and podcasts. We have a community of 2,500 supporters, and I'd love to give you the chance to be one of those. I believe this is the best supporter program in the whole world. Find me a better one, but I don't think you will. So the link is bit.ly/RobSupporter with a capital R. That's bit.ly/RobSupporter with a capital R. I believe the gap between free content and paid content is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's a lot of free content out there that's maybe not that good. And for just a few dollars a month, you can get the best content on business, on entrepreneurship, on starting up, on scaling up, on sales, on marketing, on the mindset of being an entrepreneur. So go to bit.ly/RobSupporter with a capital R right now. Okay, number five, I think almost as big as the pandemic of COVID is the pandemic of fear. And when can you remember? I'm going to test some of you oldies. Give me some comments if you can remember. But when can you remember so much fear on a global and humanitarian level? Because, you know, I was in the recession of 2008. I had a business. There was fear, but it wasn't global. And there was, you know, it didn't affect children, didn't affect schools, didn't affect teenagers, didn't affect really people more in many areas of employment. Of course, it did affect a lot of people too, but, you know, COVID has affected everybody on the planet. So it's a universal unknown uncertainty, and that breeds fear. And what I've found is people are just, this fear is just spilling out everywhere. Haters, trolls, critics, punks, wankers, you know, your friends and family who just talk about it all the time and are scared and uncertain. So on a humanitarian level, there's fear. And I think this means a few things. And thank you for the kind comments coming in, by the way. I see a lot of them. So number one is you must inoculate yourself and immunize yourself from this mass fear. Because if you allow other people's fear on an individual, national or global level to impact and infiltrate you, it's the fight, flight or freeze. And it's usually the freeze, the overwhelm, the procrastination, the fear of doing anything in case it all goes wrong and you're just scared and you want to ride it out and hide in the fetal position. Well, that's not going to get you anywhere. All I believe the fear should spur you on to do is to find solutions and, you know, to create viable products and services, you know, that leverage these new pains and problems. Your clients have new pains and problems, or you have new clients who have new pains and problems. And when you solve them and you turn that fear into solution, you win as an entrepreneur. And it's energy, and energy can be leveraged. So, you know, I like to use the analogy of a black hole or a star. So a black hole seems to pull everything in it. A star seems to shine everything and push everything out. So, you know, if you allow fear to become a black hole and all consuming and pull all this doom in like a knot in your stomach, that's just going to be debilitating. Whereas if you use that energy, because the law of conservation of energy states that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. So fear is energy. It's strong energy. It probably has quite a strong vibration, and it can be transmuted into solution, into progress, into, you know, persistent, relentless action. I was on a Clubhouse room today and someone said, hey, look, I sell high ticket products and I'm a bit nervous. Is there something, you know, is that wrong? Do you still get nervous? And I said, if you're selling high value products to people and you're not nervous, then that's bad.
because you should be nervous. Why? Because you should want to look after them and then not waste £10,000 or £20,000. So what do you do with those nerves? You turn those nerves into great customer service, going the extra mile, making extra sure that your products and your touch points, and your packaging is really good. So transmuting this negative energy into positive proactivity, I think is absolutely vital. And that's what will separate the winners from the rest in 2021, I believe. Okay, I hope you're finding this useful. Please hit the share button if you are. I don't at all ask you to share. Well, occasionally ask you to share stuff. But please hit the share button if you think this is useful. I think that, 2021 is going to be a very strange year in that a lot of people are expecting it to be better because it couldn't be any worse than 2020. Be careful because, we could have many challenges to come. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. But it could offer us the best opportunities and it could retrospectively show us that 2020 was our greatest gift year. I'd wanted to scale globally for many years, many, many years. And to be honest, and said with humility, business was never bad enough and always too good in the UK doing live events for me to, go through the initial pain and challenge of setting up a global company. So I just didn't. And I said I would and didn't, and said I would and didn't, and said I wouldn't try it a bit, and said I wouldn't dip my toe in. Ooh, nice and safe. Oh, but the wood is a bit cold. And then the lockdown made me do it. It forced me to do it. There was no other choice. I couldn't run live events. So it was like a free test of could I scale online events nationally and globally. And so as a result, it's been a great gift for my company and my community. I've not really told anyone this, and we should be shouting about this because, often companies like my companies who promote events, we're accused of promotion. Well, we are promoters. That's what we do. But, we're accused of promoting, the dream and results and money and property and lifestyle, which you can achieve, by the way. But I don't often promote the good that we do, on a humanitarian level. So we raised £20,000 for the NHS. We raised another £10,000. I think it was for Mind Charity. I did 26 calls between Christmas Eve and the 27th of December for free to help people who are struggling and lonely. I spoke to a lot of struggling and lonely people on Christmas Day, for example. I'm running or launching my very first Young Entrepreneurs Summit, my very first non-for-profit event, to help young and underprivileged entrepreneurs across the world get a better financial education and start their business. We gave 1,000 one-to-one mentoring sessions for free and hundreds of hours of mastermind sessions for free when people couldn't come to our events. We just tried to do our bit, I guess. Okay, number six then, on 9 disruptive predictions for 2021. Someone has said fair play for sticking with the spikes. Yeah, well, I can't get it cut now. So do you remember Kid and Play when the hair was like a foot long? That's going to be me by the end of this lockdown. So I think the rise of social media and communication platforms. Sometimes you think, is social media saturated? Are some of the platforms going to grow or lose? The opposite of grow, recede, lose share, lose popularity. Well, I think WhatsApp's been busy, Facebook's been busy, TikTok has kicked off, Clubhouse has just kicked off, podcasts are huge. And I just see more into 2021 and the rise and rise and rise of social media and communication platforms, especially the longer we're in lockdown, because obviously online is really all we can do to communicate. So that means be on social media, market on social media, make sure you're giving out valuable and regular content and don't hide from it and avoid it. Bring it into your business model, into your verticals, your funnels, your conversion environments, your lead generation, etc. Also, I think there's going to be a rise on premium platforms. So supporters got tested. I've run my supporter program now, for nearly 2 years. Got 3,000 just about supporters. Patreon is still massive. The stars feature on Facebook is being rolled out to more and more people. Shopify, Luminary, YouTube Premium's coming. I'm launching mine in January. For many years, the bugbear about social media was that people were saying, yeah, you got to put loads of content, daily content, 58 bits of content an hour, man, across multi-channel, man. You do that for years and hope that you get a lead. And it was a bit attritional and frustrating, and it was hard to justify against income generating tasks. But now you just invest time into social media and get rewarded with all these premium features that you can either unlock or you will be given, or everyone gets them eventually when they're rolled out. And then you can now monetize your social media following. So in my first year of properly monetizing social media, we did over $250,000 in revenue from my social media platform with no ads and no sponsorships. And so we're looking to add. I don't want to run ads. Not that I'm against them. I run ads for my training company, $250,000 a month spend on ads for my training company. But I mean, ads on my social media, we never did any. And I got offered, by the way, to do ads for computers and social media platforms, and I turned them all down. Now I'm at a critical mass. In addition to supporters and stars and Patreon and YouTube Premium, there might be collaborations and endorsements and partnerships and sponsorships, etc. So it's not bad, you know, $250,000 a year. I say this with humility, but that's not a lot of money to me. And it's certainly not worth me spending, you know, 2 hours a day doing when, you know, sometimes my training company will do $20 million a year. But it's definitely a good test year because I like doing content anyway. And what could that turn into? That could turn into millions. All right, number seven then. I don't know why I did that, but I do like the horns. And so number seven of nine disruptive predictions for 2021 is that I think, of course, many more businesses are going to get hit. Retail's going to get hit even more. Travel's going to get hit even more. And when I say hit even more, I mean, there's just going to be more and more stories, I think, of bankruptcies and insolvencies and just, you know, companies that go under. Of course, those stories have been very regular and recurring over the last few months. I think any physical location, especially high streets, going to really struggle. I think unemployment could rise quite significantly. Of course, that paradoxically creates some leverage and opportunity online and non-physical location businesses. And of course, you know, we talk a lot, don't we, in my training companies about e-commerce and, you know, the life leverage lifestyle, if you like, and being remote and global and online and leveraging social media and communication platforms. Number eight then. And number eight is the paradox of scale and the personal touch. So you've got an opportunity to scale quite dramatically in 2021 because there's more eyeballs on social. Social is more busy. There's more traffic and there's more engagement. Even if sometimes that engagement is critics, trolls, haters, punks and wankers. Now, just remember as well, that's just an indication of the pandemic of fear, and they're human beings too. So someone said on social media that I have a very small penis. So just recently someone tried to accuse me of manspanning, and I think they meant mansplaining. And I had to look up mansplaining. Manspanning doesn't mean anything. I've been called a bitch licker, a dick rider, a motherfucker, a see you next Tuesday. And someone said that they wanted to cut off my head and boil it in a vat of piss. They're the compliments. So they're from the fans. But yeah, look, that's just an indication of boredom and fear. When you put boredom and fear together, OMGROLLOLROFLOMFGWTAF. Okay, but let me back to point eight. So point eight is, so you have the ability to scale now. You definitely do, as long as you're not physically restricted by a location. Cock Womble, been called that loads of times, didn't even know what that meant. Yeah, Ellie's just said, typical day in the office, it is for me. Yeah, very graphic it was. Someone clearly thought very long and hard about how they wanted to murder me, and cut my head off and boil it in a vat of piss. That taken some time to do that. Yeah, indeed. Right, so as you scale, you lose the personal touch. That's just natural. As you get more followers, more fans, and your inbox goes mad. And I've always tried to stay really connected to all of you guys. And, you know, like I've got Liam Carolan here, who's just made a comment. And, you know, Liam messages me every now and again, and I respond to him when I can. And, I think I've passed 1 million followers now on my social media platforms when you total them up. So it's very hard to stay personal, but I think it's vital. As you scale, you can lose connection with your followers, your fans, your audience, and their wants, needs, pleasures and pains, desires, what keeps them up at night, which makes you really good at positioning your offer when you know that. So that's why I do loads of these one-to-one calls. You know, some people are like, Rob, why are you doing one-to-one calls? You know, when, you know, you're mentoring and masterminding is $40,000 a year and, you're supposed to be, you know, so rich and successful. Why are you doing all these calls? Well, number one is because I've retired again, fifth time. I have time, and I think it's a responsibility from someone who's done well and got time to give back. I like helping people, and I think that it will be paid forward in some way. But also, I think it's you can only really help the world one person at a time. Like if someone buys your product or service, you know, they're going to say if it's good, it was good, it really helped me, it was great. Maybe even it might have turned their life around. But you know, if you really help someone on the phone, one-to-one, got into the minutiae of the detail of their problem, or they were really struggling and suffering and you picked them up off the floor and helped them, they're going to remember that for the rest of their life. And in fact, someone was on social media a few years ago and he told this compelling story about his son who's disabled through negligence. And I was just warmed to the story and I just gave him £3,000. He ended up becoming a client and he's been a follower of mine for many years. And I was on a clubhouse room with him today and he remembers that. And, you know, he was very moved by that. And I think the personal touch in handwritten letters and caring on people on one-to-one and private mess, you know, when you get a New Year's message, which has clearly just been forwarded or copied to everyone on WhatsApp. Okay, fine. But, you know, a personally written message, which is clearly to you and not to a group. I think that matters more and more in this world of social media and scale and noise and, you know, automation. So, you know, it's a paradoxical prediction that you're going to be out of scale. But I think, therefore, those of you that have the personal touch more, and it's worth the time, by the way, it is worth the time because you change the world one person at a time. And then 9 disruptive predictions for 2021. Number 9 is your customers have new problems. You need to find them and you need to solve them and you need to do it fast. And if you find your customers new problems and you solve them fast, you win and you profit in 2021. But if you take time or you're slow or you procrastinate or you're trying to get perfect or you're holding on really for dear life, your old model, you could really struggle this year. So you've got to find out what the new problems are. This is, by the way, another reason why I'm very connected to the community. Now, I say that I can't reply to every message, and I'm sure someone on this live has experienced, you know, I haven't replied because I didn't see it or got filtered in spam. Or now I get up to 200 messages a day, and that's quite a regular occurrence across all my channels. But, you know, I can see Anthony Cope here who's posting. I've definitely replied to him recently. I can see Natalie, and, you know, I reply and liaise with Natalie a lot, have done for many years. You know, one of the reasons I do that, in addition to everything I've just said about personal touch and caring for your clients, is you are on the front line of understanding the problems and pains and challenges of your clients because they're telling you because you're solving them. And therefore, you quickly know when their problems change. So, for example, one of my clients said to me, I've set up a retreat for May, I think it is April or May. And we've got, of course, all the problem with the lockdowns and the quarantines and can they travel? That's a new problem because, you know, never before have I had to advise a client on running their retreat, but their client couldn't actually get on the aeroplane. It's like, shit, new problem. But when they bring you new problems and you find a way of solving them, you win. And your clients are like, wow, you're fast. And I'm going to add a couple of bonuses to these 9 disruptive predictions for 2021. Speed of implementation, speed of feedback, speed of learning, speed of action, speed of iteration, speed of pivot, speed of service. Speed of creation of the new products and services or the iterated versions, that wins in 2021. Slows. You're slow, you're dead. You know, due to the law of compounding, you know, technology is moving faster and faster and doubling at faster and faster speed. And so, you know, you get rewarded for speed and penalized for being slow. Okay, a couple of bonuses, and these were actually from people who posted them on my social media. Now, forgive me, I didn't name the name for the first person. But someone said ecological business models. You know, they think that that might be a big thing in 2021. I agree. And so I'll add, if you at an humanitarian level serve and scale equally and you help the world solve the biggest problems, like if you have a business that extends life by 10 years, that's a human problem. How do we live longer? And you have found a way to extend someone's life by 10 years. You're a billionaire. If you can get us onto Mars safely, you're a billionaire. I mean, that's done. If you can reach 100 million people, you're a billionaire. Now, I'm not saying everyone wants to or should be a billionaire. You know, they're unicorns. But it's just proof that if you can find ecological, scalable and humanitarian level problems, you have great entrepreneurial opportunities. And then Paul Charles said, a rise in 2021 of spiritual awareness, increased availability of truth, despite intensification of censorship and more empathy for fellow citizens. I'm just going to say that's my hope as well. Now, it's a bit of an ideology, because do I think there will be a rise in spiritual awareness? Yes, because there has to be, because there might be a rise in fear and burnout and stress. Do I think that there needs to be an increased availability of truth? Yes. Why would that need be needed? Because there's an increased pervasiveness of false news and lies. Intense censorship. There'll probably be a kickback on that. So Parler, social media platform, was set up, and a lot of people moved from Facebook and YouTube onto Parler, or actually got censored completely or banned from, you know, YouTube and Facebook, and they want freedom of speech. And there was a lot of censorship, wasn't there? I mean, on Facebook, a lot of censorship through the election, for example. That opens up new humanitarian challenges. More empathy. You know, I think one of the great things that could happen in the world is that we have more empathy and compassion. I follow the Dalai Lama on social media. I've been trying for ages to get him on our podcast. We've had some responses from his team, but I haven't got the Dalai Lama on my podcast, but I'd love to have the Dalai Lama on my podcast. Although I will just say, we've just agreed the director of the Queen's Gambit. I'm really excited about that, because we haven't had a big guest for a little while, Christmas and festive and lockdown. But the director of the Queen's Gambit, that was one of the Netflix series of the year. I'm really pleased about that. The story is amazing, by the way, of that script. So I'm looking forward to that. But the Dalai Lama talks about compassion and empathy. That's his main angle. And I think that there actually are now studies where you will live a lot longer if you're compassionate. And compassion is one of the things that seems to extend your life. And I think it's because you're not always in stress hormone mode, and bitterness, jealousy, envy, resentment, over-competitiveness, etc. You know, they're triggered emotions. You're in stress hormone mode. And I think that human beings aren't designed to always be in stress hormone mode. It's supposed to be very short lived because it's so intense, and it seems to be very toxic if we're in stress mode a lot. You do your own research on that. I'm not a scientist, but I have been doing a bit of study myself. All right, cool. So hopefully you enjoyed the 9 disruptive predictions for 2021. Don't go anywhere, because I'm going to do a summary and a little announcement, which I think you're going to love and involves the Clubhouse room. So my 9 disruptive predictions for 2021 are and were: human beings are yearning connection more than ever. So focus on connection and community. You'll win in 2021. The new social media app platform, Clubhouse, is probably going to grow on a viral level, but might normalize a bit later on in the year. Number 3 is the resurgence of live events, again, because of that connection and desire to be with people, but also a continued growth of online learning. Number 4 is a correction coming, probably in the property market, the economy. It may not be this year. It may take longer, but I think it's coming. So be ready. Point 5 is the pandemic of fear is often as big as the pandemic of the virus itself. So this fear is turning to anger on a humanitarian level, I think. And we have to be careful that there isn't a big revolution. But you need to transmute that fear into productive energy and productivity and not get sucked into it like a black hole. Point 6 is the rise and rise and rise and rise of social media and communication platforms, sort of spurred on by the lockdown. Also, premium platforms like Shopify, Luminary, Facebook supporters and stars, YouTube Premium and Patreon, they could grow even more, I think, in 2021. Number 7, of course, I think there's going to be more businesses that are going to get hit and go bust, especially in things like retail and travel and, business models that are completely closed and reliant on face-to-face. Unemployment, therefore, is likely to rise. That's, of course, going to have equal upsides and downsides. Point 8 is the paradox of scale, where you can scale more quickly with less friction because there's more of your customers online. But also don't lose that one-to-one nature. Make sure there's that personal touch as you grow. It's hard to do, but it's worth the time. And important point 9 is your customers have new problems. So you need to find them and solve them. And you need to do it fast. Speed is everything in 2021. So I'm going to stop the podcast now. Thanks for tuning in on the podcast. And remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything.